Welcome to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, and I am so glad you're here. This podcast is a journey into the heart of functional health, where we will explore how to create a life filled with optimal wellness, vitality, and resonance. Each episode, we'll dive into a variety of topics designed to inspire and empower you, from practical health strategies to insightful conversations with experts. Our goal is to provide you with the tools and knowledge you need to live a life unburdened by health limitations. Together, we'll uncover ways to align with your true self, embrace your passions, and create a life that fills and reflects your deepest values. So whether you're seeking to optimize your health or simply looking for inspiration, you are in the right place. Let's embark on this journey of resonance and transformation together. I am honored to be joined today by Dr. John Lawrence for this episode of the Resonant Live podcast. Dr. John is an expert in functional medicine, regenerative therapy, and consciousness healing. He's a renowned physician, author, and speaker with over 30 years of experience in functional medicine, neurology, and naturopathic healing. As a trailblazer in health and wellness, he has been featured on top biohacking and wellness podcasts such as Ben Greenfield, Luke Story, Josh Trent, Melanie Avalon, and Cynthia Thoreau, where his insights have reached countless listeners. A leader in advanced therapies, Dr. Lawrence's expertise spans a wide range of innovative treatments, including high-dose melatonin therapy, methylene blue, VSEL, stem cell therapy, photobiomodulation, peptide therapy, and endonasal cranial therapy. His work in regenerative medicine, particularly in using stem cells and laser therapy for inner ear regeneration, synovae, and other conditions is pioneering. Dr. Lawrence also incorporates psychedelic therapy, meditation, breathwork into his holistic approach to health and healing. He is the founder of the Advanced Rejuvenation Center in Sarasota, Florida, where he practices functional neurology, regenerative medicine, and naturopathic care. His unique protocols utilize cutting-edge delivery systems such as suppositories and nasal sprays to maximize healing and energy activation. Dr. Lawrence is the scientific advisor for MitoZen, a company that focuses on mitochondrial health and consciousness expansion, providing education through his digital content, lectures, workshops, and retreats. His passion is in uniting vitality and mind mastery and a direct experience of the divine, guiding others toward enhanced health, longevity, and spiritual alignment. An author of several books, including Melatonin, Miracle Molecule, and It's All in Your Head, Endonasal Cranial Therapy, Dr. Lawrence continues to push the boundaries of what is possible in health, healing, and human potential. His innovative approaches and deep connection to both science and ancient wisdom inspire many to achieve their highest state of wellness and consciousness. John Lawrence, it's so wonderful to have you join us for this podcast. You have been an incredible inspiration to so many of us in so many ways. And what you know and what you've brought into this tangible form of these magical products through MitoZen and through many of these other types of ingredients that you've curated into formats that is more bioavailable has had a profound impact in my own life as well as in my patients' lives. So I am so excited to have this conversation and have you just share your wisdom with us. And feel free to share anything that's inspirational to you throughout this time. We'll all be in awe and excited.
Thanks, Layla, for having me on your podcast. Yes. Excited to dive into some really good material that everybody can hopefully be inspired and a little educated, and we hopefully won't get too nerdy. I don't know, how nerdy do we get? Do we get really nerdy?
Get as nerdy as possible.
Okay.
Everyone in our audience will absolutely love that.
All right.
So first, let's go ahead and share a little bit about the magic bullet of methylene blue. And I know that you've written a book on it. You've led the way, paved the way in the most bioavailable form of this. So tell us a little bit about the science behind this, and then also share with us about how you're bringing into interaction some of the other products and ingredients that are amplifying the impact that this can have on health.
Sure. So it's really all about light and photons. And because methylene blue was originally a dye, and And the medical application for it was to dye tissues. And because they discovered that methylene blue had some sort of affinity towards the mitochondria, which is the powerhouse of the cell, and each cell has anywhere from a few hundred to millions of mitochondria, depending on how much energy that cell requires to do its job. And so certain cells that have more mitochondria will stain more blue. And so you can kind of delineate these different tissues. And so scientists were using it to stain tissues. And there was a scientist, his name was Paul Ehrlich, in the late 1800s, was about to embark on research to discover the cure for malaria. And once he put the dye and in preparation with all of the other remedies he was going to test, so he was going to dye the parasite that carried malaria and then add the different medicines to see what killed it, and that he could see what was happening there because it was stained, right? Mm. So as soon as he added the stain, he observed the parasite die immediately. And so he, before he even really started his experiments, found he had the cure.
Yes.
And so that was the first discovery that methylene blue had an ability to have a healing potential in the body. And since there's been so much research and so much studying, everything from cancer to neurological conditions, cardiovascular conditions, it tends to be extremely neuroprotective and cardioprotective. It can be taken every day. It can be taken over long periods of time. The word magic bullet was actually coined based on a substance that had far-reaching benefits to the body but left the body unharmed. And we look at a lot of the medicines and the drugs that they don't have that quality, right? They may, you know, they may block, typically medicines and drugs are blocking the expression of a disease state, right? Like a runny nose. Mm-hmm. Or a rash or some sort of inflammatory response. Mm-hmm. And so when we block that expression, we actually prevent the actual healing to happen. We're not really treating the root cause, because there's always a deeper cause. There's always a deeper trigger that's some sort of stress that's not being able to be adapted to, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we both went to chiropractic school. I think we both went to Parker, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Alma mater.
And I mean, great, great philosophy that we learned there. And, you know, we learned that the body is a self-healing device, and we have the ability to heal with this innate wisdom, this expression. And that in our indoctrination to chiropractic, a lot of our emphasis was the vertebral spine, and that the flow of the expression of that life force came through the spine, through the nervous system, right? And I think that something that's really shifted since, I know since I was in school, or even before that, because it was kind of around in the 90s that I think a lot of doctors were starting to look around and say, well, gosh, it used to be that I could just adjust somebody and all these problems would go away, but it's so much more difficult these days. And a lot of the old time chiropractors were talking about how much more challenging it was, and that they're starting to turn to have to use a lot of different therapies and even IVs and detox mm-hmm. strategies and what we look at now as functional medicine. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't something that we had to use before. You know, healing was much more simple because there was less stressors that the body had to adapt to. So now we have such an accumulation of stressors that are blocking the expression of that vitality, that life force. So besides the flow, I mean, the vertebrae and the spine are extremely important in the health of the brain. But really, when you start to look at what allows that expression to happen, it's really coming from our ability to make energy at a cellular level through the mitochondria. And so there's almost an entirely new conversation that we can have with just about every healing art, really. I mean, I think we all share a very similar, especially with people that are more of the natural root cause belief system, that if we can fix the cell and the energy level in the cell, then the body can adapt and the cell can adapt, and we can have a natural expression of health. And that's what's so magical about methylene blue, because that's really what it does. It lubricates and allows that vitality, that life force, to almost be 30% higher. And it allows you to harness the power of light even more efficiently, because we are built to be able to absorb red and near infrared light, right? And this is part of the sun spectrum. It's the largest part of the sun, actually, close to 75%. And it penetrates through our skin, and it gets into our bodies, and it gets into our cells and our tissues. And when you look at blue, blue is absorbing red, and it's reflecting blue. So it almost acts like a sponge to just pull these photons into the cellular structure, into the mitochondria, because that's where it lands. And it not only lubricates the production of energy through electrons, but it also pulls in more photons. So you're able to make energy from both photons and electrons. And so it's quite special. It's quite a special substance.
That's incredible. I love it. Thank you for sharing all the science behind this. I know everyone is fascinated with that science, and it's so important to understand how to apply it into their lives. And this can be beneficial for everyone, right? In any type of physiological function, we all need upgrades to ourselves. So it's beneficial for every single disease process to help shift towards health, as well as optimizing wellness.
Yeah. And, you know, what's really interesting too, anybody that starts taking it will notice that they're going to pee blue. And that's normal. Don't let that get you excited. It can stain your toilet. It can stain everything in your house, right? I mean, come to my house, you're going to find stains everywhere. But I'm getting better. I don't know about you, but I'm getting better at not staining things.
Yes, yes, yeah? Definitely. I've learned my lesson many times over. A couple of podcasts I've shown up with blue teeth because I let it sit in my mouth too long before swallowing it. Yeah. Of course, I'm going to take plenty of this before I show up for podcasts or important meetings or anything, because it is such a great activation in the neurological system. So
yes,
I've learned my lesson in that way as well.
There's something really special about methylene blue and how it works. There's an area of the brain called the locus coeruleus, and in Latin that means blue spot. Right? It's in the pons. And this is like command central for norepinephrine in the brain. And it's literally got fingers to every part of the brain, because it's kind of like the governing switch, whether it's going to release norepinephrine. And that's what's going to get you excited, and it's going to get you focused. It's called the salient network, where we're focused on a single thing.
Yes.
That's how we can get things done, and we can be focused on like having to act, right? So the dopamine centers are highly connected with this as well, because we know we need to act, and then we need to move our body, right? Just sometimes a predator might be after us when we have like this big hit of norepinephrine. And this actually is a big part of our circadian rhythm. So our sleep-wake cycle is all hardwired in the locus coeruleus as well, in the blue spot. But one of the things that I found really fascinating, and I write about this in my book, I actually have the third edition of Magic Bullet coming out soon, where we've added some extra things. And I talk a lot about the locus coeruleus, because it's such an important part of the brain to take care of. And I mean, I don't know how deep we can get into it. There's so much to talk. Like, I literally could write a whole book about it. But the point that I really wanted to bring out is that the short-term memory, there's like a little hard drive in the locus coeruleus, and it stores all of our short-term memory, and it needs to offload that short-term memory to our higher brain centers in order to integrate, right? So we have an experience during the day. And then at night, when we go into REM, primarily REM sleep is when we're integrating, we're making sense of what happened during that day, and we're kind of filing things away. And that's really like integration, right? And that doesn't happen for a lot of people. And it doesn't happen if we go to bed stressed, if we have too many stress hormones late at night, if we're not paying attention to the lights at night, if we've got too many blue or green lights where we're not honoring, you know, having more fire, you know, because we would only have fire through our evolution, right? We didn't have all these bright synthetic lights. So you want to really, you really want to look at that. Serotonin can be a big problem. So anybody on SSRIs are going to have a real problem with memory consolidation. Estrogen cycles play a big role. So in these lower estrogen cycles during a woman's period, they're going to have more difficult time with REM. Therefore, this might explain some of the challenges going through, you know, PMS and so forth. And so also opiates are really negative for it. So you've got like these different major things that can really interfere with this transfer of the short-term memory to the long-term memory. And so I'm bringing this up in the conversation with Methylene Blue because they actually did studies with phobia patients and memory consolidation, because that's the name of this, is called memory consolidation, is they found that one dose of Methylene Blue after exposing people to phobias made a dramatic improvement to their memory consolidation and their results in their therapy. And so like for people like you and I that are involved with functional neurology and we're trying to create neuroplasticity in patients, it's just insane that we wouldn't have all of our patients on Methylene Blue.
Of course, yeah. Rewire the brain and create those processes that actually change the structure tangibly, because so many phobia patients and then PTSD patients, trauma patients, those big stress responses where people stay in sympathetic overdrive, it's every single case out there. There's some form, some version on the scale of that. And this Methylene Blue can help with actually tangibly changing that structure of that neuroplasticity within the brain. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's other things that I like to use along with it as well. I mean, I'm a big fan of a lot of different mushroom extracts. Mm-hmm. I think there's certain peptides that can help with neuroplasticity. It's certainly not, you know, there's different combinations that I think can be utilized that can really help enhance, you know, anybody that's looking to do like accelerated learning. Yes. I don't know how much you get into psychedelics, but psilocybin is really epic for neuroplasticity because it allows the brain to connect. Now, I'm not talking about doses where you're going to be tripping, right? So like a trip dose with psilocybin is somewhere in the neighborhood of like half a gram to like a few grams. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about microdosing psilocybin, we're talking about like 200 milligrams, you know, 150, 200 milligrams, and it's perceptual. And so you're not feeling it. I mean, things might feel a little bit lighter. You might feel a little bit more, silly, you know, you might take things a little bit less, you know, serious, because that's kind of the effect to it, but it allows you to have access to more parts of your brain. And there seems to be some accelerated learning with that as well. And I'm seeing that become, you know, really legalized. And so it's becoming more and more available, I think, mm-hmm. to the larger population. And I think it's a great idea it's non-addictive. Yeah. And the combination, I think, of these things together are very powerful. And one of the points too is I get asked a lot if you can combine psilocybin with Methylene Blue, because there's some concerns out there about SSRIs, and that psilocybin does work on the serotonin 2A receptors. Mm-hmm. And there is a concern with SSRIs and too much serotonin with mm-hmm. Methylene Blue. However, I believe that narrative has been blown out of proportion a little bit. And when you search this online, they don't really get into specific. It's very much kind of black and white. It sounds kind of scary, but the truth is that the challenges that they've had with Methylene Blue and SSRIs are very high doses of Methylene Blue. Mm-hmm. I would say that. So dosing with Methylene Blue, I think this is a good time that maybe we can get into that.
Yeah.
half a milligram up to 4 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, right? So say an average male's like 70, 75 kilograms. So that's, you know, close to 300 milligrams or so per day would be like an upper limit. Mm-hmm. And with methylene blue, there might be some days that you're going to want to take more. Like if you're trying to fight an infection, which this can be great for that, especially combining light with it, going out in the sun or sauna or something like that can be really good to boost the immune system and clear infections from the body. And the higher doses are better. It's also the higher doses can be more effective with mood. They did a large clinical trial with about 1,500 human trial on depression. And the dosage schedule was 500 milligrams a day, and it was over a year.
Yes.
And there was no adverse reactions with any of the population. They all tolerated it very well. But that higher dosing schedule would probably be getting close to a danger level with SSRIs. So I would
interferes with the physiological correction.
Yeah. I would probably be more around like SSRI. Like 2 milligrams per kilogram of body weight or less if I was on SSRIs. And you know, also when you start talking about psychedelics that might have some serotonin effects, it's not a huge concern, especially if you're in the lower dosing schedule.
Yes, I love it. Well, this is really a helpful topic, I think, for many of our audience to hear, because there are not many options and alternatives out there. And I know so many that would love this transition off of SSRIs. And so potentially this is that opportunity for their cells to upgrade the physiological processes that may be deficient. So,
well, think about this whole, like, I mean, the insanity behind, okay, so I'm depressed. I'm going to take SSRIs. I'm going to block my ability to consolidate my memory. So I'm not able to work out the problems that are plaguing my mind, right? And I'm going to be caught up in this loop. And the science with the locus coeruleus and how important that is for PTSD and depression.
Yes.
I mean, this is really a big part of where it comes from. And then stepping back and looking at, like, what's the mechanism methylene blue has to minimize depression? And it's because it mops up a type of nitric oxide that is a response to an infection. And so most of the time, chronic infections are going to lead to depression. And so most of the people out there that are depressed probably have some sort of a chronic infection. It could be candida, could be Epstein-Barr, could be Lyme disease. It could be, you know, a variety of different types of things. It could just be dysbiosis in the gut. But the reaction that happens is that there's an outgassing of something called an endotoxin when we have an infection, and that endotoxin triggers this response of releasing this inducible nitric oxide.
Yes.
Now, the endothelial and the neuronal nitric oxide, because there's three different types, are the really good ones. And not that inducible nitric oxide's not, you know, it's not the enemy. It's just meant to be a short-term response to infection to try to like bring immune cells to an infected area. Mm-hmm. But when it's chronically high, then you start to get something called peroxynitrates, which is when these nitrates combine with other chemicals in the body, and it's the most destructive substance that just totally, you know, destroys your endothelial lining and leads to a lot of plaquing and sclerosis. So let's say that this is true, and the true cause is that you've got microbial imbalances in the body that's leading to the elevated level of nitric oxide, which is then the cause of the depression, because they actually tied this in science where they would raise the nitric oxide and people would get depressed, and they would lower the nitric oxide and they would feel relief. And that's basically what the methylene blue does. It only mops up the inducible nitric oxide. It leaves the endothelial and the neuronal alone, right?
that way the good.
And so if somebody's on SSRIs, they really need to start thinking about, you know, questioning their doctor. Okay, is their doctor really up on the latest research? And the researchers are really urging doctors mm-hmm. to rethink the use of SSRIs, primarily because their discoveries with memory consolidation and PTSD, which is really what people are looping on, is taking people the complete opposite. Yeah. And that's why it's been a complete failure. How many times are we watching commercials on TV? If your so-and-so prescription isn't working, try adding this to your regime. And it's like, how many different drugs are we going to keep stacking onto this? And until we actually, so a plan would be to find somebody like you or I that maybe does functional medicine, mm-hmm. get tested, you know, find out, test your microbiome, test mm-hmm. your nasal passage. Sometimes these infections are in the nasal passage. You know, get some viral titers. I find Epstein-Barr high in a lot of people.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's just a big thing. And so find somebody that can do the testing on you and then make a plan to get off of the SSRIs and onto something like methylene blue.
Yes.
And I mean, you'd be happy, you know, you'd be mm-hmm. able to actually get past this and not just be not depressed, but just imagine yourself being able to work through all that crap, get all those monkeys off your back and really move on with your life and have that the best life you could ever have, you know, because this is what we're meant to do, is to work through these things and move past them. Right. And then inspire others around us, because if we can grow and become more spiritually evolved, we can really step into life in that really meaningful way.
I love it. How beautiful. And see, what an inspiration. This is, it's holding space for some alternative, some upgrade to what people are already doing, but also inspiration for that innate, unlocking the innate that's within us for optimal healing and that upgrade to the next level of that soul progression. That's beautiful. Take it a step further for us, Dr. John, with telling us about breath work and adding in methylene blue into the nose, into the eyes, into other aspects of the body that can really help with up-leveling the already great benefits of breath work for the human body. How can this help the nervous system? And how does this help with furthering that soul question?
Love that question. And, you know, one of the areas that is really important with breath work is the locus coeruleus, actually, the blue spot, you know. I think I'm going to change my name to Dr. Blue, really, because it seems like everything blue is like in my life here, you know. But the locus coeruleus, the blue spot in the brain, is where our CO2 sensors are. And so when our CO2 gets high, there are certain things that happen to us physiologically. And when our CO2 levels get low, there are certain things that happen. And so if we're breathing heavy, we're going to blow off a lot of CO2, and we're going to really deeply quiet the locus coeruleus. And that's one of the reasons that we feel so blissed out.
Yes.
We also go into respiratory alkalosis, which sometimes people get tetany, and the muscles get tight, and it feels that the sensation is that you've got all this energy and this electricity. So it just feels like a lot of chi, you know, and it can feel really good. But there's this kind of wave of bliss that runs through us when we just really blow off a lot of CO2, because the locus coeruleus is there to kind of, it's a thermostat, right? And it's set at a certain level. And when that level gets with CO2, if that level gets too high, it's going to send an emergency signal to you to release norepinephrine. That's going to trigger you like, okay, you're going to die. You need to breathe. You know, you got to act, right? And we've all had that situation when we were like getting to a panic zone when maybe we were underwater. I know surfing, I've had a lot of situations where I've been held underwater, and it's like you're trying to hold back that blue spot from really activating, right? Because when you get panicked, you're going to use more oxygen, right? Yes. And you don't really want that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost, it's a mind game. But but that sensor can be changed. And if we can lower that sensor down where we can breathe less and we can accept a little bit more CO2 in our system, there's some incredible health benefits to that. And they see that with like this, the naked mole rat is an example where it's like, this rodent lives an incredibly long time for a rodent. It's, I think, 4, 5, 6 years, something like that, where most of these rodents live, you know, 6 months to a year. And they're deep underground and they have a tremendous amount of CO2. And CO2 is an incredibly beneficial gas. It was once looked at as kind of a byproduct of breathing, and that, you know, we got to get rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. But there's something called the Bohr effect, and this is where we get to nerd out a little bit, right?
Good. I love it. All the science. Let's throw it out.
So the Bohr effect is this balance where when we stop breathing, where our body goes into a preservation mode where we're able to utilize oxygen more efficiently. Mm-hmm. And so all of the oxygen that's stored in our hemoglobin can be released. So the more CO2 accumulates in the blood, the more that hemoglobin is released. So we're actually releasing more oxygen. So it's kind of like this cool balance. And so what happens to a lot of people is they overbreathe. You're familiar with Buteyko breathing?
No, I'm not. Interesting.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a whole thing. It's like a Russian technology, and they train people in Buteyko breathing. And the real, I think, like, if you kind of distill it down to one simple thing, is that they teach people to breathe very, very softly into a little bit of the air hunger. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, breath holding would be another kind of way to do it. But they have different devices that you can put in your mouth that can kind of restrict airflow. You can hold your breath while you're walking, and like, mm-hmm. let's say you're walking down the street and you see some posts, and you say, well, okay, I'm going to stop breathing and I'm gonna hold my breath till I get that other post. Yeah. And maybe every other post, you're going to kind of hold your breath. Right. And as you're walking, you're like, you know, you're really air hunger, and it's not comfortable, right. But leaning into that air hunger is what it's going to do, is it's going to help stabilize your blue spot. Mm-hmm. So that you're lowering your tolerance to CO2, so that you can have more CO2 in your system and you can let more oxygen released from your hemoglobin. Because what happens is people overbreathe because we're all in this adrenalized state.
Yeah.
And our CO2 sensors are way too sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so this prevents us from holding our breath long periods of time. This causes us to be in more of a stress state. In times when we're exerting ourselves, oftentimes when we're talking, like if you find yourself in conversation and you find yourself winded and anxious, mm-hmm. It's likely that because you're blowing off a lot of CO2, like we are when we're talking, at least I am. I know my CO2 is being blown off because that's what happens when you talk or you're lecturing. Mm-hmm. And you can get quite excited sometimes in that mm-hmm. state. But, working on some of these aspects of stabilizing the locus coeruleus. And so breath work is a really, really great way to reset that, especially if you lean more into the breath holding. The benefit also has a very powerful effect into the autonomic nervous system as well, because when you're breathing, it's a function of both the volitional and non-volitional nervous system. So we can voluntarily work to breathe, yes. or we can not think about it and it's happening anyway. And so it's like this way that we can reach into the system and exercise it, unlike other ways, you know, we can't get to it. And mm-hmm. also it's moving our lymphatics, right? So when you're doing breathing, your diaphragm's really moving, and we're moving all of that kind of gutter system lymphatics through our organs, which is so healthy to kind of flush our body out.
Love it. So many benefits. And that's what's beautiful about breathwork and guiding our patients through breathwork and helping them find this upgraded level of this holding to retrain that locus coeruleus, to support lymphatics, to balance the autonomic nervous system. And then taking that a step further, adding in your products, I've seen profound differences and changes. after this. So tell us a little bit more about adding in this methylene blue orally through the eyes and through the nose during these
Well, so methylene blue absorbs best in the stomach. You don't really want it to be in your small intestines or your large intestines because especially your large intestines, it can have a bit of a negative to some of the bacteria strains in your microbiome. And so I'm not a huge fan of taking it in pills because a lot of times those capsules don't open up until they get into the small intestines. And it can be a little bit irritating and may lead to some leaky gut, you know, when you're taking it every day. Yes. And so what we did is we made it into what I call a bar, and we combined it with some other photosensitive substances like physatin and sterol stilbene and quercetin and curcumin. And so it's basically, it's an encapsulated, it's a suspension in a palm oil. And so when you take it, you can cut it into whatever piece that you want. We typically recommend people using the 180 milligram bars. And so you can cut that into quarters or you can cut it into eighths. And then you take that piece and you drop it in the back of your throat and then drink liquid. And then it's perfect because it just starts to absorb into your esophagus, into your stomach right away. You don't want to be taking this substance sublingually because it just doesn't absorb well and it makes your mouth blue. It stains your teeth. Hasn't been something a lot of people have really fancied using long term. And then we have it in a suppository. We call it a bullet. And it was the first thing I came out with was the methylene blue suppository. And it was before I really was understanding, you know, a lot of the mechanisms and so forth. And it still may be like clinicians might want to use the suppository if they're looking to really raise high levels of methylene blue into the bloodstream and then expose the individual to light. Like I've had patients I've worked with COVID, and this is something that if we weren't here at the clinic, we do it IV. And then we actually do the light intravenously. And then sometimes we'll actually, this part of our stem cell treatment, we have a brain protocol that we infuse these stem cells, I called X cells, after we do these infusions and then activate them very powerfully. We have this helmet called the Helios, which does transcranial photobiomodulation. You'll have to come out and check this out. I can't even tell you some of the things that we've seen with some people with neurological conditions with combining some of these different modalities together. You know, I do this endonasal release, opens up the airways, and it opens up a lot of the pathways for circulation in the brain. And then we have them using methylene blue, whether it's oral or intravenously here. We're using functional neurology. We're infusing these X cells are really special, actually. Anybody that's interested in taking a dive into that, they can go to xcell.us and learn about how this is truly the most powerful, effective, longest surviving stem cell line, where it can stay in there and do a lot of good. It can get into the brain. It's been studied to show that it actually improves myelin with MS patients, and it improves new blood supply. One of the things that happens to us as we get older is we lose the circulation in our brain, right? And that blood perfusion is a big problem. I know, like, you've probably seen it a lot when we do MRIs.
Yes.
It comes back and it's like small ischemic changes in the brain, right? It's pretty common. And then you have this atrophy because the brain's not getting that fuel delivery, right? And so the part of stem cell that really does the most magic is something called an endothelial progenitor cell. And this is what we actually grow new blood supply. And so these endothelial progenitor cells are 40 times more prevalent in these X cell preparations than anything else available on the market. And that's why we actually do some hair, skin, and sexual rejuvenation. Yes. We have a female doctor that has been just doing some amazing works with vaginal rejuvenation. Wow. And just amazing results with everything from urinary incontinence to some of the problems associated with having babies. Mm-hmm. And then even like improving the sensory, you know, to, nice. To that area by increasing the blood supply and the nerve supply.
Yeah. Very important for longevity of the brain. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because those sensory nerves, I mean, those are some of the most important, especially for female and especially for hormones and how that regulates hormones in itself. But I love that. There are not many clinics out there that are offering these kinds of things, and especially these stacks. So I'm so glad that you shared about this. And you mentioned something about the magic bullet form of the methylene blue as a suppository. So Share with us about the microbiome and the importance of microbiome as the trillions of cells, more in number than our own cells within our body, and how the microbiome plays such a profound impact on our own expression physiologically, as well as neurotransmitter, neurologically, autonomic nervous system, the balance between that and the gut-brain axis, and what are the benefits of using it as a magic bullet style?
Good question. So we have good bacteria and bad bacteria, and oftentimes it has to do with the terrain. Yeah. So the foods that we're eating, our digestive system and how that's functioning can create an environment that favors the good bacteria. And so one of the byproducts of a really healthy microbiome is they produce a lot of a substance called butyrate. And butyrate is extremely beneficial for metabolism, for the gut brain connection, for detox, really, really, really important for detox. We use a lot of butyrate supplements, and we actually have a suppository called ProBiomax, which is butyrate and probiotics, which a lot of people claim to have a lot of benefit from. Mm-hmm. But so this substance that is released from a healthy microbiome is something that we fall short of when we have too much of the bad bacteria. And so the bad bacteria secrete different types of chemicals that trigger tremendous amount of inflammation in the body. And as we talked about earlier, it's the inflammation that has a negative impact on our ability to make energy because it stops it. And so anything that we can do to minimize inflammation in the body is going to improve our expression of health and vitality. And so the microbiome is really a big part of that. And it's part of what I call it the taking care of your doorways. Yes. And the doorways, you know, would be the nasal passage, the oral cavity, the colon. And then obviously, you know, I'd say with men, you have the prostate, and with women, you have the vagina. Yeah. And these are other doorways that really need to be looked at. And although the prostate isn't really a traditional doorway, it's an area that harbors a lot of infection in men. And this is the leading cause of cancer in men. In other words, the chronic infection in the prostate is what eventually leads to cancer. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to test this through a semen test. So we have a kit we send out. Or we give to our patients, and it's crazy how many men over the age of 40 have multiple infections. The report gives us which antibiotics would work against it. And we developed a protocol called Prosta Blue Zone, where we inject under ultrasound targeted antibiotics and methylene blue and ozone into the prostate. And we do a series of three of them. And we've worked with cases ranging from just patients having difficulty with urination, initiating urination, urgency, and all the way to patients with, you know, late stage cancer. And we've seen some really exciting results with really all of these patients. And yes. It's the second leading cause of cancer in men over 40 is prostate cancer. And it's terrifying because they, you know, right now the standard of care is to go in and remove it.
Yes.
And this leaves men incontinent, unable to have an erection, you know, and this is a pretty terrifying thought, right? Especially if you have an intimate relationship and you're looking at potentially losing that ability to be intimate with your partner. So getting it early is important. These semen tests are something that something that we do regularly. You can go check out prostabluezone.com, and there's more information about this, and also you can access ordering the test on that site as well.
Awesome.
But back to the doorways, the nasal passage is another one that nobody's talking about.
Yes.
And you want to talk about a direct link to the brain, right? And then the nasal passage can also seed infection into the gut, which can disrupt the gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. So taking care of your nasal passage, I like essential oils. And that's why I created a product called Glutastat, which is a bit of a spicy nasal spray.
Yes.
And we have a 30-day sinus protocol that we like people to do. And then there's like a kind of a maintenance program with that that's important.
I have so many patients in mind that need all these different protocols, so I'm thrilled to be able to offer this to them. So you mentioned ozone. Let's talk a little bit more about that interaction and go as sciencey as you want to and as inspirational as you feel like. So ozone and methylene blue and interaction and the different ways that we can think about this in different cases and for individuals that are just interested in learning more about how this can help them amplifying as a step for their physiological response.
Yeah, well, the ozone and the methylene blue have something in common in the sense that they both work to improve your metabolism. They improve your mitochondria. Yeah. Methylene blue, we kind of already covered it. It lubricates and it allows you to utilize photons. Both of those things enhance the ability to make energy. So you have a higher expression of vitality. You'll think clearer. You'll be able to remember things better. You'll jump out of bed. You'll be able to exercise longer, harder. Ozone does something similar in the sense, but it does it in a different way. And so you have a sensing system in your body, and it's based on a gene pathway. This gene pathway is the primary kind of stress gene pathway where when our oxidative levels get high, like if we're exercising, we're doing extreme exercise, or we're doing things that are kind of like a bit stressful in our system, we're going to create some oxidation. And then that oxidation triggers this response where we go in and we clean up old mitochondria and we build new ones. And so what ozone does is it floods the body. Like when you do it like as an IV, or you can do it rectal with like a rectal insufflation at home. Mm-hmm. And there's steam cabinets that you can use as well. These ozone treatments, raise the level of oxidation in the blood so that it kind of wakes up these endogenous antioxidant systems, and it kind of gets you to reboot fresh mitochondria. So they're really beautiful to work together. Melatonin is another substance that works on the mitochondria in a totally different way. In fact, if you look at the way that methylene blue works and you look at the way ozone works and then you look at the way that melatonin works, they're so uniquely different yet so synergistic. Yeah. So we haven't really talked about how melatonin works on the mitochondria, but basically melatonin is the ultimate resilience molecule. And a lot of people look at melatonin as being the sleep molecule, but it's actually a substance that's made in every mitochondria in the body. And when we have stress that would normally shut down our energy reserves, mm-hmm. melatonin can sit in there and actually keep us making energy in the midst of high stress. Mm. And if we take it exogenously, in other words, if we take it either orally, we have a suppository that's really mimics a night's sleep, and it's a slow release, but we call that Sandman. So our Sandman line of high dose melatonin products are kind of what we're utilizing. Mm-hmm. But it kind of allows the energy to endure mm-hmm. in stressful states. Yeah. Yes. And so like a really stressful state might be if somebody gets an infection, And one of the things that happens with infections that can cause death is that it's an overabundance of cytokines, right? They call it the cytokine storm.
Yeah.
And there's multiple studies showing that patients that take melatonin survive. The survival rate is way, way higher in some of the most lethal infections. Wow. When people can get melatonin. Mm-hmm. So we live in, we kind of going back to the beginning of our conversation about how it's more difficult these days to heal patients, you know, because of all the stressors. When we can add in some of these things like ozone and methylene blue and melatonin, mm-hmm. we're then starting to level the playing field a little bit. And I have found in my practice that I can get people better because I'm able to get their body to adapt and to upregulate that energy in their body.
Mm, love it. Wow. And how beautiful that you've created this culmination of all of these different types of stacks and interactive physiological amplification products and strategies so that we have the best chance that every single cell in the body is capable of restoring the optimal functioning. And it's incredible to see how you're putting this into practice. You're actually creating this new inspiration for so many other practices as well to hold that space for upgrades and how they're treating patients. And it's offering hope where, you know, there are only miracles that someone can reach for that hope. And you're creating that structure for them to move forward into that faith that their body is capable of healing. And you're unlocking that intrinsic healing, that innate healing. So beautiful. And I'm so grateful for how you listen and strategize. You have such a brilliant mind. And you bring together so much of the science in ways that is new and innovative so that we're able to pave the way into a new frontier of functional health, evolutionary health. And you're creating the structure that so many of us can turn to with your products and then also with these stacks that you're creating with the technology behind the scenes. It's amazing.
Well, thank you for that compliment. I really owe it to like all of the amazing instructors and colleagues that I've had. You know, I've been really lucky to just be affiliated and associated with some brilliant minds. And I think coming from a naturopathic training and a functional chiropractic, I mean, especially the neurological training, you know, we both have done with Carrick Institute. Just, I think without all of that, I don't know that I would have the insights that I have now. And I have heard that before, that it's a little bit of a more unique kind of way at looking at health. I had some challenges with Lyme and mold myself, and you know, I'd already been a pretty successful practitioner for many, many years, and then I got really sick, and I had to basically just press pause. I had to stop practicing for almost a year and just fix myself, and that's when I really started to dive into the use of suppositories, you know, and of a number of different IV protocols. And I think that it's the necessity of, you know, fixing myself that's really led to some of the innovations.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's what's so beautiful is whenever it's our own health journey, then it's so intrinsic to us because we have to walk ourselves back towards wellness, and we understand how to also be an inspiration and lead patients from that standpoint of knowing and understanding what they're going through, what they're feeling, and how they have to emotionally resolve that they can have that resilience, regain that resilience back to optimal states of functioning, and tap into that inner truth to be able to have that inspiration behind.
It's a spiritual practice. I like to say sometimes that, you know, we're science meets soul, right? So it's like, you know, you have the science, but then there's this other aspect of healing that has to do with, you know, the spiritual body, you know, and when we have purpose in our life and we're on our mission and we're living our truth, things just fall in alignment, you know. And I think that there's a calmness that can come through our nervous system and our body that lends itself to a healthier body and a healthier mind. And these challenges that we run into in life, you know, we can look at them as a pain to purpose, right? So are we going to sit back and let these challenges be the end of us, you know, and are we going to, you know, just roll over and accept some of these challenges? Or are we going to step up? And, you know, this is a calling, right? Yes. So it was a calling for me. You probably listening to this, there's going to be some people that have a calling and maybe struggling with some health issues. Maybe that's why you're listening to this podcast, because you're looking for answers. And, you know, it's available to you, you know, never stop searching. And, you know, some of the things that we've talked about, like legitimately try them, you know, and they're not dangerous. You know, we didn't talk about anything that would be put you in harm's way at all. They're very safe, effective strategies. And I know you do some personal coaching, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're brilliant. Like I've had enough time with you that it's like, you know, I always joke, like, you're Dr. Doolittle, I'm Dr. Do a lot, but I know you don't do a little. That's just your name. But I find that funny because I have a practice where we do a lot of stuff, you know, and people are like, wow, you've got so many different modalities. And so I just thought that was a funny joke to play with you.
It is. I love it. And the do a little part is do a little bit to create a massive change, because usually all it is just this little thing to unlock that spark, that inner light. And then as soon as they're tapping into that soul expression, things start aligning.
Love that. Yeah. The minimum effective dose.
Because as I'll need to refer patients to your clinic where you're doing so many things and you have the opportunity to treat those patients that are going through the depths of the struggle in health, they need to have huge, massive changes physiologically to help pull them out of it and pull them into a place where then they can be guided into that soul expression. You know, I think that so many times health concerns create a change in that soul expression because we're then focused on just trying to feel better each and every day, every single moment. It's just we're reaching for whatever that is that can help us just feel a little bit more like ourselves rather than focusing outside of ourselves on what is our mission, what is our purpose, why are we showing up on this earth every single day, what are we actually creating and what are we doing. That's what we want to get them to, that place that they're actually able to think about that. And it takes a tribe, it takes many of us coming in at the different times throughout that health journey and providing them with the right tools and providing them with the stacks when it's needed to help to physiologically get them out of those ruts. And then also take them into those higher states of thinking whenever they're ready to unlock that inner light, that inner expression.
I love that. Well said.
Yes. This has been such an incredible conversation. My heart is so full. Thank you so much for sharing this opportunity to speak this truth and speak to so many that I know this will resonate with. I'm so grateful for all that you're doing on this earth, and thank you for spending this time with us.
Completely my pleasure. Anytime.
I look forward to our next conversation.
Me too.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Resonant Life Podcast. I hope you found our discussion insightful and empowering. Before wrapping up, I want to invite you to explore our resources available through Resonance Wellness. Visit our website to access a wealth of free content, including downloadable guides, insightful articles, and practical tools designed to support your health journey. We also offer a variety of programs and courses that delve deeper into functional medicine, providing you with personalized strategies and expert guidance. If you are interested in learning how to integrate these insights into your own life, I encourage you to book a discovery call with me. Together, we will explore how functional medicine can help you achieve your wellness goals and live a life of optimal wellness. Visit drlaylaDoolittle.com to download your free resources and schedule your call. I look forward to connecting with you and helping you on your journey to a more resonant and fulfilling life. Until next time, I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, wishing you a day filled with resonance and vibrant well-being. See you in the next episode. Thank you.